Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? May 22nd, 2017. Hey, Brent Grimes.
What up, Meek?
Thanks for joining me again, Brent Grimes.
No problem at all.
I want your penis inside of me, Brent Grimes.
I can happily do that.
Kidding, you guys. I know that was probably awkward for my dad. Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Brent's mom. I ain't shit. Y'all know I ain't shit. But hey, guys, welcome to another episode of the iHeart Miko podcast. I am iHeart Miko, your host. I got a bunch of co-hosts bouncing around here and there, and hubby's been on, what, is this like four? Is this number four?
I'm just along for the ride, so whenever you ask me to jump on, I ain't keeping count, so I'm having fun.
The reason that I keep putting you on, I mean, you're good. I think you're good, but the people got to think you're good. And the responses have been dope. Like, people really like hearing you.
That's cool.
Your opinions, you know. I know personally that you can't keep it 1,000 as far as like the football shit and everything, but you know, I think that you're doing good.
Appreciate that.
You're doing a good job.
Learning.
Yeah.
People
coming out
game,
of your shell a little bit.
Seeing how you maneuver on the mic.
Yeah, so I was gone for like, what, 4 or 5 days?
Yeah,
you I was left gone. I ditched you and Aiden.
No love.
To go hang out with my VIP homie. Shout out to VIP. We was in Atlanta this weekend, turning up, having fun. What did you and Aiden do?
Oh, we had fun. We just kicked it. I took him. Took some pictures. He did worked on his golf swing. Mm. I had him in a batting cage.
Okay.
Obviously, he had a soccer match. They had a 1-1 tie. Girl scored a free kick, and then they just lapsed on defense and let the other team score. But Aiden did good. He was hustling. He's still a little pissed. He can't get that one goal yet, but
yeah,
it's coming.
Aiden's getting a one. Aiden has had a $1 bill, a two, a five, a 10, a 20, and a 50. He's never had a $100 bill. So
he is stressed to get that $100.
I told him, because this is his first time ever playing an organized sport. Like, he can play sports, all of them, but he just plays at home or with his friends. And so we finally put him in an organized league. You know, so he loves soccer. So we put him in the league. So this is his first time playing. And so if he scores a goal, which I'm not sure he's going to do just because it's his first time, and he's actually in a higher age group than he is normally. He's in the 7-8, I think.
Yeah, some 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it might be a couple of 9. I don't know.
Yeah, it's some big kids. He's definitely one of the youngest. But if he scores a goal this season, he gets one $100 bill, and he is excited, and he is like determined.
He's trying hard. He was hustling this game. I tried to keep the energy up. You know, that's usually your role, to yell on the sideline.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm that mom on the sideline.
But I kept some energy. I talked to him. I was yelling. He was doing good. I was trying to – I'm really frustrated, like, because I don't feel like they're coaching. They're just putting them out there, and it's just a hive of kids running around the ball. And I'm like, Aiden, go to space. Like, I'm trying to teach him. It's all about creating space on the field.
Yeah, but see, you know, the thing is, Brent, remember, I put him in this league because this is the fun league. You put him in one of those leagues where motherfucking kids is running plays at age 6.
No, he don't need to
might
run
take
plays.
The fun out of it.
It don't need to be plays, but I'm just saying they need to understand space. Like,
No, he doesn't. It's not time.
Space? I'm not saying everybody need a position. I'm saying, Brent, hey, we need space to make something happen.
Look, see how serious you are about it? I just put him out there just to get a feel for playing a sport. I don't even care. Like, I don't care. I want him to win. I want him to be great. But I just feel like this is the first one. I just want to see after the season over if he has to play again. If he has to play again, then we can take it up a notch and take it to a league where, like, they are actually teaching, like, real skills and stuff that you really want him to learn. this is just fun. Like, I don't really take it seriously. I laugh because it isn't coached, like, incredibly. But I just feel like as long as they're having fun,
no,
I'm okay with it.
I completely understand. I do want them just to have fun. But at the same time, I do want some semblance of they're doing something instead of just a pile of kids following the ball. Like, you know, I'm not telling them to drill.
I just feel
them.
Like at this age, you're going to be looking at more of individual skills. So we can, I mean, like, granted, there a lot of the kids don't do what Aiden can do, but we just focus on some of the things we work on with him at home and just tell him to incorporate it, you know?
They ain't really getting a chance because it's just a pile of kids.
That's so, what the you can't control all the other 9 kids out there. Like, even if they actually coached well, what if they just really just still ran into a fucking pile to kick the ball?
I'm there every week watching, having fun. So it's whatever.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a good breakup for him from, like, working out and playing with us and, you know, playing with his friends and their dads who are like, when we play, like, it's like legit. Like, it's serious. There's strategy, you know, there's movement. You know, we stay out of the middle. Like, we teach that. But in this, he's just having fun. Just fun.
All right.
No?
I mean, I'm rocking. I want him to have fun. That's my main thing I ask him after every time. Like, just make sure you're having fun. But he wants to score a goal. And I'm trying to tell him, you got to get to space.
Well, then you teach him that.
I am.
When we're home. Teach him that. Show him how to space it. Show him on the fucking, you play FIFA goddamn around the clock. Show him this shit.
I was telling him at the game when
you
he got a break.
You can't tell him. You have to show him.
I was giving a break. I was.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm going to keep it up. I always work with him, but I just don't want to drill him too much where he's like work because he gets,
Yeah, because he just want to kick the shit out of the ball like kids do. Like, he just wants to kick it and kick the shit out of it, and hopefully it goes in the goal. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have offered the $100 for the goal, though. That might have thrown it off.
It
might make it stressful.
Yeah. He ain't stressing too bad, though. But he said, it might not happen, but it's going to happen. He told me that after the game.
He said, it might not, but it's
going to. It might not happen, like, right away, but it's going to happen.
Oh, but it's
going
to happen.
Yeah.
Well, while I was gone, a lot of shenanigans took place in the world of social media. So, want to talk about them?
I'm always down.
So, one of the things that happened, I was, we're going to probably argue about this. I already know it. We're going to argue. It's fine. We can argue on, you know, on my fucking shit. Let's fucking go, you know?
What are we about to argue about? Though?
So, okay. So Giselle, bad bitch. That's all I call her is bad bitch.
Giselle who?
Tom Brady's wife.
Oh, okay.
Bad bitch.
What's up with her?
She did an interview of some sort where I don't think it had a lot to do with concussion. I think it somehow turned into a concussion discussion. Mm-hmm. And she brought up the many concussions that Tom Brady has had over the last few years and how he felt about them and what it did to him and how it affected the family and, you know, elaborated quite nicely, you
Wait,
know.
What?
Yes, quite nicely elaborated and let us all know what it feels like when you have a man that is getting concussions and having all these issues and coming home and the concern for a wife. And the problem with that interview was that Tom Brady has not registered a concussion in so motherfucking long.
Tom Brady?
I think since 2008.
Tom ain't getting out the game?
No.
You think Tom getting out the game because there's a little cobwebs in there?
So my thing is, people are like, oh my God, so does this mean that the NFL has not been testing properly? Are the players able to ignore these concussions and ABC, XYZ? Why do people really think that all concussions are reported?
Because it's one of the major things talked about right now. So they think like, oh, if he got a concussion, nobody is out there, you know, they see him, they're automatically taking you out of the game because it's such a big deal right now.
But that doesn't happen.
I mean, you can't really judge every when everybody got a concussion.
Okay, but what I'm saying is head-on-head collisions.
So you're going to take a player out after every big tackle? Because this head, you can really say that it's a head-on-head collision at a decent speed with somebody on the field every single play in the NFL.
Yes, exactly. So to me, if Giselle is talking about these concussions like this, this is clearly something that Tom knows happened too, right?
So what is Tom Brady coming home and can't look in bright lights? And
yes, exactly. What? He's having some issues with, yeah, everybody does. You, this is where the argument is going to come in. I know you've had 3 concussions since I've been your woman.
Have not.
Yes, you have.
Have not.
You're lying. And you have not. It's cool because you said you wasn't going to, okay, whatever.
Have not.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville? I didn't get a concussion in Jacksonville?
Yeah, Louis Delmas cracked your egg.
That was in when I was on Miami.
Louis Delmas, the Bills, cracked your egg.
And that's the only one I can think of.
Oh, but you just said no.
But that's not even a concussion. That's what is just that? Like, damn, he got hit in the, I got hit in the head, Brent, and I had to like, whoa, gather myself.
That's called a concussion. You should at least get checked out.
Hey, no. I didn't have no problems with bright lights. I didn't have a headache.
You locked up for 2 seconds.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Oh, you squeezed your... I watch every fucking play.
I just had to gather myself.
Oh, my God. See what I'm saying? You've had so many concussions that you don't even know when you're getting concussions.
No, I have not had so many concussions.
This is ridiculous.
I have not.
This is ridiculous.
I have not. I'm not the one to play through concussions. If I had a concussion, you would know about
So there's a difference between a concussion and getting your bell rung, is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah, like sometimes you get hit and you gotta like, oh,
what's
man.
What's the difference?
A concussion?
Yeah.
It's a different level. It's levels to it. I mean, if you're gonna, like I said, every single play in the NFL, if you're gonna go the completely safe route, you will have to take somebody out the game every single play. Especially like linemen and linebackers and running backs. That's every play, like every single play. You would have to take somebody.
So basically what you're saying is the game should be extinct. The game you play should be extinct.
Saying is it's a lot of collisions in the game, and they're making efforts to, you know,
make it safer.
But you can't make sport safe. You can't. The only way to really make it safe is
to
truly
put some flags around your waist.
No, truly is if you made people play without a helmet. That's the only way people not
that would
gonna
be
hit
dope.
With their heads.
I think that would be so dope to play without a helmet.
Because you're not.
Because then it
really,
would take the idiots out of the game.
Because you thinking like I got protection on it, so people are hitting with it. Like people not thinking like it's still.
It's really just
your brain is still in there. But if you don't have a helmet, people would be a little more.
Yeah,
like,
careful about what they crack their egg up against.
In here, like, because you know.
Yeah.
It's just how it would go. You would still have some, but it wouldn't be as much because
then you really be out the game.
People make a concerted, like people don't like getting hit in the face ever.
Ever.
In anything.
In nothing in life.
Yeah. You don't want to get hit in the face.
Not football, not basketball, not a face.
Once you get hit in the face, it's like, oh, like I can't do that anymore.
Right.
So.
Well, yo, Aston has some concussions,
yeah,
just like Tom has. You guys never want to come out of the game. It's too important. My team needs me. This is what all y'all say. I've read so many articles online of players that are retired now that talk about this stuff. And they say, like, how they, you know, wish they would have done stuff differently. Like, I just don't understand how there's a different level between a bell ring and a concussion. Like, I don't know the difference. I just feel like
sometimes
bell rings.
You get hit and it's like, oh, man. And sometimes you get a concussion, like where you'll see the difference. Like it is a clear difference. Maybe that is a small scale concussion. But when people really get messed up and really got a concussion, it's a real thing. Like you could tell, you can look at them, they glassy eyed. Like they don't. It's just weird. It's kind of like. Weird. The first time I saw one, it was creepy.
So you've had a concussion before?
I have had one.
When?
Before. When I played at NFL Europe.
Really? And what did it feel like?
What did it feel like?
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened.
Like talk me through the play. Like what happened?
I ran down and I tried to tackle a dude, and a dude like jumped over and kneed me in my head, and then all I remember is just. Like trying to get up, and I couldn't like move certain stuff. Like it was tough. Like and then like I slowly came to.
Did you still play in the game?
Yep.
Oh my God, I'm divorcing you.
But that was before.
I can't believe I'm married to a football player.
That was before all of this, though.
What, but so what? Why do you guys do this? Because
you ain't know
shit?
Any different.
Why would you just keep playing, though?
You ain't know any different.
Oh my God.
I played the rest of the game. It was actually the championship.
And that's why you kept playing, because it was
it's the championship of the World Bowl. And I talked to my mom afterwards. My mom would tell you, she saw it on TV, and like all my family saw it. It was like, what the hell? You all right? Like, everybody was panicking, because, you know, my mom usually comes to every game. Or
yeah.
She couldn't, like,
do
in,
anything.
I'm in Germany.
In Germany.
So it was weird for her. She was freaked out. I called her after the game. But, you know, that's the only one I ever have.
And they just let you play. Just keep playing.
That was, I'm telling you, it was before. Like, it was a deal. People knew what it
was. That was 2006.
Yeah, but that's before it's like this. People were still headhunting in the league in 2006. People still was doing the crazy. Like, they were celebrating big hits over top of people at that time.
You guys are savages.
It's different.
Fucking savages. I married a savage. I married a
cold-blooded savage.
A dirty Philly nigga that plays the dirtiest sport with the dirtiest owners and the dirtiest commissioner. It's so much dirt on you.
Well, I'm swole, though.
Oh, my God. He's flexing. Yeah. There's no cameras, but he's over here flexing. Anyway, so... Forget what Brent talking about. You had a concussion.
Okay, whatever.
And I don't appreciate how you don't be getting checked out. You know that. Remember that. You know what I want to talk to you about? Because this was never addressed. Since I got you on here, we might as well just start airing some shit out. You want to air something out?
Go ahead.
I believe it was January 11th, maybe. January 11th, 2012, playoffs, New York Giants.
Okay.
You remember that week?
Yeah, the game. I didn't
you play. You were injured, remember?
Yeah.
You had surgery. You had a scope.
Yeah.
I asked you not to play in that last game because it didn't matter. The last two games. You played, fucked the knee up again, mm-hmm. Set out, playoffs, and didn't play in the playoffs. You remember that?
Yeah.
What? There's a lot of stories going on. People still bring this up to me to this day. It's the only reason I even want to ask you about it. A bunch of people think that you didn't play in the game because of, like, you know, like, this is a legit reason. Like, okay, boom, my knee is kind of fucked up. I'm going to be a free agent. I shouldn't play in this game because if I get hurt, then that fucks up my check.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legit, like, if that's
a real legit,
if
legit
that
reason.
Is actually what happened with you, like, you know, I'd be the first one to say, like, yes, and so the fuck what? But could you actually tell people that actually want to hear from you what happened? Because, you know, I'm going to tell, you know, my side of it. I knew you wasn't going to play 2 days beforehand because you took me on a date and you couldn't walk.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? It was a Friday beforehand. And you trying to hobble around the mall to take me shopping. And I'm like, what? Why are you limping? Why are you hobbling? And you said this, you had the first practice since, you know, hurting it again.
Right.
And your shit, you couldn't walk. And I was like, I canceled my flight. I canceled the hotel. I sold my tickets. Cause I said, if you was to play in that game, I would get tased.
Yeah, that's what you threatened me with.
I threatened to get tased. I told this nigga, dog, if I fly out here to New York for this playoff game, because he was like, you got to go. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know this. But when I'm on social media, if I don't go to the game, niggas know you not playing. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want the fans to know that you weren't going to play.
Right.
So I had to fake like I was in New York, literally on social media the whole weekend, just so people could think I was there to think you was going to play. But if you would have played in that game, I told him I was going to get tased. I was going to hop over the wall and just run out there and tackle him myself the minute he subbed into the game, because that's how bad his knee was. But, you know, you got to play games in the NFL. You got to play games with the other team and make them think somebody going to play when they not. You didn't play in the game.
Nah, I didn't.
Did you even think you were playing in the game?
Nah, I didn't.
Like, since Friday, right?
No, I shouldn't have, like you said, I got the scope. which is really a minor procedure. Any procedure is major, but it's a minor one in the grand scheme or whatever. But, you know, the team wanted me to play. I think we were playing the Saints, a division rival. They wanted me to play.
Yeah, you guys had already secured the playoff game.
I played early, came back. It was on turf, which is probably not good for right coming off of a minor scope like that. And it flared it up. We lost. We got smashed.
Smacked y'all asses.
And
then the last game was against the Bucks, and you couldn't play in that one.
Yeah, it was flared up, so I didn't play any rest. And it just – then I practiced, and it just wasn't right. You know, it wasn't right. I couldn't run. And then afterwards, it felt even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, no, this is not going to happen. And then I talked to the doctor, and it's just like, you don't want to do – you like, this is stupid. You hurt yourself right now. Like, the little stuff you're doing, whereas you could chill for a little bit and it's going to be better
mm-hmm.
for forever. Or you could try to push through and your knee be done.
Right.
And that's the thing. And that's like a no-brainer. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That doesn't even... That's.
But
not
do you think that there was any chance of you playing? Because this is why I'm asking you this. Because I was at home lying like shit. Literally tweeting.
No, it wasn't. I knew I wasn't going
to
play.
But they put on the bottom line that you were cleared by the doctors to play.
I mean,
and that
I don't
you
know
chose what, not to play.
They can word it however they want. I mean, I guess you always cleared to play. The team doctor is always going to clear you to play. Unless, like, if I could walk, they're going to say you can play. They wanted me to play. It was the playoffs.
But you couldn't.
I mean, according to maybe to them, they felt like I could, but I couldn't. It would have been stupid to play. I couldn't play at the highest of my level, that my highest of my capabilities, or I could, you know what I mean? That, and then after that, what if we, even if we won, I wasn't playing the next week.
Right. It would have been done.
Now, even if I look at it like this, I was like, I'll take miss this game. You know, we could beat the Giants. I think the next week we had to play like the Packers or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe I could play then.
Right.
But this game is a no-go.
Right.
Like, it was no way I was playing that game. And that's what it was.
Well, when I saw on the bottom line that you were cleared
but
to play.
But you got to think.
I was, remember I called you?
It's weird. It's weird
said, Brent,
how the NFL
do
works and stuff like that. They don't want to let people know who's hurt or who's not playing until the last possible second. Like
it matters. Why do they think that matters?
I mean, it's just something with the NFL.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know why.
What do they think? Like, oh, we can game plan better. Like, if a nigga better than you, he just better than you.
It's just something with the league. Like, they don't want to. They try to. You see it throughout the week. We don't know.
And it pisses me off too, because when I'm setting my fantasy league.
Yeah, he broke his leg last week, but he's still up in the air.
It's questionable.
like what?
Game time decision.
Yeah, it's just like that. It'd be like that in the NFL.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, got that off. I just get asked a lot of stuff. You know, I feel like as you come on the show, I should just peel back some layers of questions that people have been asking me since, you know, I've been with your little beige ass.
I'm getting black.
You are getting dark. This is dark season for Brent right now. Yeah. You know, this is when he outside working out, running, and, you know, whatever parts of him you could see, like from the t-shirt line down and the shorts line down, he's looked like a little Cuban, little something, little spicy something.
Yeah,
but when he take the shirt off... He's white. Chest looked like a full-fledged white man. You've been running with your shirt off. I can tell.
Yeah,
now
look
you got
at you.
You got
look at you. Ooh.
You got a nice little color on your chest today. I see. I've been gone 5 days. You've been running around with your shirt off?
Yep.
That's what we doing.
Trying to get right for you.
That's cool. You know. It's all good. But, what else is going on? Let's talk about the LeVar Ball. So LeVar Ball was on
the Cowherd,
show and got into it with Kristen Leahy, I believe is how you pronounce her name.
I don't know how to pronounce her name, but I know what you're talking about.
Christine Leahy, whatever, white woman, side bitch. She she is a side bitch. she said that the Big Baller brand needed to cater more to women. He said it's not a woman's brand. She asked how many pairs of sneakers he sold so far. He told her to stay in her lane. She said he was disrespectful to women. He said, I'm married. How can I be disrespectful to women? It was a very, very corny little argument to me.
Yeah, it was nothing. It seemed like to me like she said something previously and he automatically like was done with her right when he came to the show. Like he was off yeah. her like, whatever you're saying. Because the way the show's set up, he's looking at Colin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like
side bitch, but, okay. Like I said, side bitch.
She's in her back. So when she was saying stuff, he was like, "I ain't even trying to talk to you." Like it was like
he was ignoring. She wasn't there, but yeah, he kept talking
like,
to her.
Yeah, it seemed like she said something about the brand previously, or
well, she said,
or him like him talking about his son or hurting his son's name, and he's just off her. That's right. What it seemed like to
right.
me.
Off her. Okay, so to me, I saw that same thing. The before he came on the show, she shit on him basically just as a father.
That. See, I didn't know that. That's what
she doesn't think. She doesn't think that he's doing a good job, like representing them and everything. And he basically feels like anybody that has a problem with the way he's representing his sons and supporting and showing love, that's their problem. Because at the end of the day, these are his kids. Exactly. And this is their life, and none of y'all putting food on the table. So fuck y'all.
Right.
And I feel him 1,000% on that. Fuck y'all. He can say and do and support and represent his kids however he wants. However, as a businesswoman, I know he should know that, first of all, women are the number one consumers of everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. We buy everything.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
So you might want to cater to the hoes. You actually might want to. You know why? Because you get the hoes on your website and then they start buying shit for their kids, for their man. You know what I mean? Like that's something that you really should consider as a businessman. So she's right a little bit.
What I think is I don't, because I've been on the site before and I think he does sell
women's
stuff.
He does.
But I think he made a mistake as a businessman and
yes.
letting a personal
yes.
vendetta or beef
roll over into the bit. Yes,
saying it's not, you know, like mm-hmm. it's women's stuff on the site. So he is trying to
he
should to
have said that,
women.
But he basically, and it's stupid. He needs to let, I feel like the business, the Big Baller brand business should have another mouth, another person. He should be the loud, outspoken dad that's just hyping his kids up and no, doing that. He needs
right.
to separate him because at some point he, perfect example, like me doing this podcast. Like I want to be successful. Mm-hmm. I want to be good. In order to be good, you have to get numbers.
Right.
I want numbers. Now, are my numbers paying my bills? No. So I can actually get my numbers however the fuck I want to get them because mm-hmm. it's not paying my bills. Big Baller brand is probably not going to pay their bills. His sons are going to be, at least one of them will be a successful NBA player.
Right.
So I feel like he's kind of running his business like how I run my podcast. Like I could do whatever the fuck I want. He shouldn't do that because this is just a podcast.
Right.
We're talking about a brand, like a clothing shoe line. Like this is something great. I feel like a black man jumping out on his own saying, fuck the labels, fuck the main companies. I'm going to start some and build a foundation with my own kids. I think it's great. But I think that if you really want to take that businesses like very seriously, like if I wanted to really take my podcast, like the brand of it, like Aiden's going to be a podcaster, which no, then I feel like I would have to change some things. And I feel like he does need to separate himself. He's always going to be attached. You know what I mean? So whatever he says is going to be attached to the label, but he doesn't need to be the brand ambassador. He does not need to be the spokesman for the brand and saying things like, well, this isn't a women's line. Like, dog, you fucking up the check.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You pretty much summed up what I was going to say. I just feel like he made a bad, as a businessman, he let a personal beef, what he had, what she said or whatever she said about him, he let that filter into him just, you know, saying something like, this is not a women's brand.
Yeah.
When you got woman stuff on the site.
Yeah. See, he want to just say whatever she say.
Yeah.
He want to go back.
Yeah.
And he's not even thinking.
He was just trying. It was kind of, it was being petty in a way. But it's just that's how he handled it. I don't think it was right. And what you suggested is probably the path he should take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should definitely have a hand in the business, but he needs somebody else to maybe
to
market
be the mouth.
It.
Yeah,
because if you
separate
going,
yourself,
cause
you can make some money.
A ton of people that have a problem with you because of your way, like the way you're going about stuff, the stuff you say,
and you're taking a chance.
So you're gonna have beef with a lot of people, and if you can't, like, just control what you say,
you need to step away from the business.
You need to stand aside. You know what
he
I mean?
Does. You know, I feel. I hope that, you know, he does at some point get to the point where he maybe just manages them as their manager. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He can still be a loud mouth and still, you know what I'm saying, say whatever you want to say. I don't have a problem with people representing for their kids. There's too many motherfuckers out here not representing for their kids. So I'm not going to just run from the one nigga that's louder than me. he don't always tell the truth. That's the part about him I don't like.
Yeah,
you got to tell
a lot
the truth.
Random crazy stuff. Yeah. But it's whatever. You know what I mean? But hey.
But I just, and another thing that he said, this is another reason that he needs to separate himself from the brand, is because he called Whitlock. He said Whitlock, you know, old pork chop eating ass nigga, Jason Whitlock. Yes, I'm fat shaming him. I don't give a fuck. And then he fat shamed him and said something about all he needs to give advice or opinion on his snacks.
Oh, he got excellent.
And you know what she said? You know what the white bitch said?
What?
You're fat shaming him now? You have a problem with women and fat people? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So now your brand is now you. This
see,
is at the brand,
saying.
My nigga.
Like the way he is,
yeah.
If you're the face of the brand, just on stuff that ain't really that big of a deal. Like,
yeah.
You know, cracking a joke on somebody, that's just a joke.
It's a joke. Like the culture got that, but the white America and the
when
consumer.
You're trying to build a brand. Like,
yeah.
You're still gonna have people that want it.
Yeah, I still want it.
It's still
I'm rolling.
People that don't care, but it depends on what he wants. It depends on how big he wants to be. Like, if he wants to be like Big Baller Brand, Nike, Under Armour. Like, if you want to be that, then you
approach.
Gotta
but
go.
He might not want to.
But
be,
if he just whatever we gonna sell is what we gonna sell, and I don't care, and I'm gonna be who I want to be, then he can do
I think
that.
That's the way he's doing it. Because when he said, "If you can't afford the whatever the name of the shoe is, that's $495, you don't, you not a big baller."
I mean, it's
could you just imagine Nike saying that?
Yeah,
Adidas.
It's funny. I mean, I don't know what he's trying to do. It's cool to watch. He got a good idea.
Man, I'm rolling.
I don't agree with everything he's going
Listen,
about,
I don't give a fuck what he says. I really don't. I'm buying. I actually went on the site to buy you a pair and to buy me the slides, but the shit ain't available.
Yeah,
the
shit don't come until like November.
Dog, I can't really think that far.
It,
I'm not buying it, dog. I got you.
It's pre-order.
I got you, dog. I really do got you, but I'm going to need you, my shit to be like, able to be shipped at least five to seven days, my nigga, before I order.
I might want to overnight it.
Yeah,
I really
nigga.
Wanna.
I am a big baller, my nigga. I want my shit today. Real big ballers want their shit today, my nigga. You know we don't wait. The fuck wrong with you, LeVar? Now get it together now. We going to ball. Let's fucking ball, nigga. Shit. We going to goddamn ball. Let's motherfucking ball. Fuck you, Jason Whitlock, again. Yeah, so that's the two of the shenanigans of the weekend that I don't really.
You keep me up to date on all the stuff. I ain't on nothing.
Yeah, Brent is not. Both of these stories I just brought up, he had no clue. Like, huh? Well, I said, dog, Google these two stories so you could comment back. Brent literally is in his own world. Like, he is not here with us. Like, he's not here with any of us. He is in his own world. And every now and then he comes and hangs out with us regular folks.
That sums it up. I don't really keep up with nothing.
Nobody. He ain't. Boy, I love it though. We are such opposites. I am all over the place. I'm jumping on flights. Yeah. Nigga, I'm trying to figure out if I can go to game 5 on Thursday in Boston. Like, what's wrong with me?
You just like being on airplanes. I'm on airplanes all the time. I ain't really trying to do it like when I don't have to.
Man. I am. I'm trying to see it all. I'm trying to let these eyeballs have so many memories.
That's true. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, man. So anyways, did you guys cook while I was gone?
No, I did not.
So I ordered Blue Apron. And you guys didn't cook?
The reason I didn't cook is because Aiden was acting funny when I was showing him the food. And I didn't feel like cooking a whole bunch.
What do you mean he was acting funny?
Like he didn't want it. And I
what fe- was it?
It was some type of Dijon covered chicken with roasted. It had peas in it too.
Oh, man, Brent.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll just take you to get some food somewhere else. Because I didn't feel like cooking all that food and he don't eat it. That would have been annoying to me.
Well, here's the thing. This is what you can do with Blue Apron, okay? I thought I had educated you on this, but since you don't know, I'm going to educate everybody and you. First of all, Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredients and recipe delivery service in the country. I have been using Blue Apron for a few years now, and they just so happen to sponsor me now, which is dope because, like, I can give you real-life examples of shit that has happened, and this is a good one. So I ordered, you guys had a honey, a soy glazed chicken is what I think it was.
I forget exactly what exactly.
So Aiden's allergic to peas, okay? You're allergic to soy.
Right.
What you can do with Blue Apron is you can still order that same meal. And once you become familiar, like once you become a seasoned veteran with Blue Apron, I feel like this is when you get really dope in the kitchen. So there's peas and then there's soy. You can still cook the entire meal. You don't have to use the glaze. For example, just grill a piece of chicken, pull up the old recipes that they've sent you before.
Yeah.
And make one of those style chicken. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
So that's what you can do with Blue Apron. Once you start getting those recipe cards and you save them up, if you get some vegetable that you're allergic to, like peas in one of them, you just swap it out because none of the ingredients, there's no cross-contamination with Blue Apron. Everything's in its own separate packaging. So you don't have to use every ingredient. Perfect example. I made you catfish last week from Blue Apron. Remember the catfish with the spinach?
That was bomb.
It was bomb, right? And the sweet potato fries. You have a gluten allergy. They sent wheat flour. Well, I just swapped it out and used coconut flour. You see what I mean? It's still dope. There's so many things that you can do with Blue Apron. It's bomb.
Yeah, I really was thinking about that. I was thinking about it, but I didn't want to make it and Aiden pulled out, I don't want to eat it type thing. And I just took him somewhere where he wanted to eat.
So you were the dad. Yeah, basically, you were the dad.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't cook?
No.
Okay, well, we've got Blue Apron coming this week. So I'm going to make sure I cook, and I'm going to start showing you how to change the recipe to suit yourself, to suit whatever, you know, if there's a food allergy or if there, it doesn't even have to be a food allergy. It could just be that, you know what, today, instead of having regular mashed potatoes, I'm going to swap out these potatoes that Blue Apron gave me and then use a sweet potato. Make a sweet potato mash.
So you see what I'm saying? You want to go to the, you know, the next level.
Yeah,
the
expert level. I'm expert level Blue Apron, baby. Expert.
You a ringer in the Blue Apron.
I'm a ringer in the Blue Apron.
Like you are, like if somebody in the NBA is playing at LA Fitness.
That's me with Blue Apron. You trying to say Blue Apron is LA Fitness? Damn.
No, I'm saying.
Wait.
No.
I fucked it up?
No, you took it wrong. Blue Apron is a way for me, like it. Somebody that's a great cook can use it too, but I think it really shines for people like me
who don't know how to cook.
And it shows you that is not as impossible of a task that you think it is.
Right.
It breaks it down into steps. You see exactly what to do. It gives you the ingredients. It gives you the portions. Everything is there. And you're like, oh, this really ain't that hard. Like, I can do this. Whereas somebody like you that have been doing it without step-by-step instructions on the paper, it's like, yeah, this is cool that it's broken down for me. But even if this sheet wasn't here, I could do it.
Yeah.
Now, if you take that sheet from me and just give me ingredients, I'm like, what? It looked like a trigonometry. Like, I don't know what is this?
I feel you.
So, like, for you, this is cool, but it's easy.
I'm making it sound like it's easier to do than it really is to just swap stuff out.
Yeah, like that's
my bad.
That's
okay. My bad,
that's graduate
y'all.
Level I'm stuff.
Okay, well, let me. That was just for my expert level chefs.
Yeah, it's some expert level chefs out there that a Blue Apron meal is an easy meal. Like the time on the sheet might say 40 minutes, and that's exactly what they do. They might cut some time off of it. But
I break mine.
A higher end of that spectrum. I'm like, all right, let me.
I remember one time somebody tweeted me and said, that meal that you told me to get, it said it was supposed to take 45 minutes. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, dog, you can't get mad. That's not a negative.
Yeah,
like,
it take me longer because I'm just
Yeah, you're just learning.
My,
when it says 45, it's usually
fast.
Yeah, it's usually 30 for me. If it says 45, like, don't try to hate on Blue Apron just because of that. Like, come on.
This is cool.
He was trying to hate. Don't hate. Don't fucking hate. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free, you hater. Free with shipping by going to blueapron.com/Miko. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredibly home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Miko. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Cook my damn food, Brent.
My bad.
You cook it. You should have, well, you know what, the soy, yeah. You know what? It's okay. You're learning, though. You know what? I'm not complaining. This is definitely not a complaint because I just appreciate the fact that you actually cook now.
Yeah, I'll be chefing. You know
don't,
what
that's saying? Not, that's not.
Don't cut me down. Easy with the chefing. I've been chefing on the grill.
The grill, you've gotten way better on the grill, too. I'll give you that. But
so
easy
what?
To talk about. I've been chefing.
Cook so much stuff compared to before.
It's because it was a never.
Hey.
Yeah. You are doing good. I'm not complaining. I'm very proud of you because I just always thought you would just never even try because I know how you are. You and Aiden are just alike sometimes. You don't even realize it.
What?
Like you just something that you really just feel like you just cannot do. You're not even going to try. You just be like, nah, I'm cool.
That's not true.
Brent, it took you a long time. I used to always ask
you, know
you to cook.
You know why I didn't want to cook?
Why?
Because I want to eat. And when I'm cooking, it takes a long time to eat. Like, I just like sitting around and then the food appears. Or I was just like going to get it. Now, what I've learned is it's cool. Like, it's kind of fun. Like, I don't like it as much as you, and I probably never will. But I do enjoy the process of cooking food and seeing the stuff and like, you know, I like cutting the stuff up and you smell it. It's like, oh, like this is what's going to taste like. And then to see it, like when you make it and you know, other people are eating it, it's like, oh, let me see if I, oh, they like it. Bet. All right, I did it right. Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's a cool process. It's like a challenge. I like challenges.
Yeah, like, but look how long it took you to accept this challenge.
Yeah, because you're so good at it. Why would I cook? Why am I cooking if you're good at it?
The same reason I go outside and work out and shoot hoops and things, it's because it's fun and I'm doing it with you.
All right.
You got it?
Yeah.
So keep going, keep cooking, keep learning. And like Aiden says, in no time, you guys won't need me.
I'll be wanting
to punch the shit out of him sometimes. Oh, he is so lucky. Yeah, he was like, Mommy, pretty soon we won't even need you here. Daddy's getting so good with this Blue Apron. Like, that's all I do is cook. Like, I don't suck no dick around here. I ain't shit. Moving on. Fuck it. So, tomorrow, it's our anniversary.
Yeah.
It's our 7-year anniversary.
Seven of them things.
You've been dragging the ball and chain for seven
ball and chain
whole years.
All just weighing me down. And I'm just...
Just dragging it along, just chucking on.
It out. No, seriousness. This is the best 7 years of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
Why? Because of me?
Yep, you. It's just life. Look, we living a great life. Got a cool... So cool, son.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting a lot of cool people. Just living a good life. I couldn't ask for anything better, and you're a major part of it.
Thank you.
You made your part of it, really.
Well, 7 years with you has been very fun and exciting and crazy. And I think the part I like the most is that every year I feel like people change. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people just change. We change on things we like, views. You know, when I first met you, how I was very, very religious.
Yeah.
You know, and
you were.
And I've changed that. And I just like that we're changing and we're still on the same path. Like we're still good.
Yeah.
Like that's important to me because if you expect people to stay the same and keep getting older, like then, you know, you're that's not normal. People are going to change and you're going to have to at some point accept how your mate is changing. Excuse me. And some of the things that, you know, they change, the ways they change. And it's cool. It's cool to be on this wave with you. Like it's cool to ride this wave with somebody that really fuck with me. Right. And I really fuck with him. And it don't matter like the current. Like we just ride.
You broke that down extremely well.
It's the weed.
Like that's a great way to break it down. Like that's an awesome way to break it down, honestly.
Yeah, because I'm like, crazy. You know what I'm saying? People always want to know why you're with me. Like, why are you with this crazy ass girl? She won't shut up. She's annoying.
I mean, people that say that don't really know you. You know what I mean? They know you, but they don't know you. Like they don't know that. Even though you're the hardest, toughest person, you're so soft. Like, you're such a girl. That's the crazy thing, like, people don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you got a really hard exterior, and if you come, you know, anywhere near it, you're going to get a snap back. But inside, you're such a girl.
Such a vagina.
Yeah, such one. And it's cool. Like, it's cool that I can get, like, the best friend that I can shoot the shit with and crack jokes on each other and all that. But then I got the same person that is so, like, if anything's wrong with me, you so, like...
Pitbull.
What's wrong? Or just...
I'm a fucking... Pitbull.
And then when something's wrong with me, as far as like, say I come back from the game and something's like, my leg's a little hurt. You like, what can I, you know, like, it's like you turn into like just a girl and like, just, you know, you obviously cook. Like you take pride in just taking care of me and your son. And that's another thing, like how great of a mom you are, is just amazing to me. You know, like,
thank you.
It's really cool. You know, I probably, like, people ask me, like, when I talk to random people, like if I'm with Aiden by myself, and we're just interacting with people, and they're like, how is he like this? Like, you know, like he's so.
Well spoken.
He talks like he's 16. You know, like in the questions he asks is not the questions of a 6-year-old. And I'm like, well, from a little age, me and Miko just talk to him regular, and you like, and I was like, Miko been talking to him since he came out of her, like full conversations. Like I would be like, I wasn't good at it. Like I couldn't. Like when he was Pet Rock stage, I just was put him on a couch, move him around. Hey, son, poke him in his stomach. But, like, you, like, talk to him. Like, it was so crazy. Like, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I would watch him. I'm like, how is she talking? Like, you holding a full conversation with this dude. And he's just looking. And he, like, looking at you crazy. And then
I knew
over
he could hear me. I knew
yeah,
he could
and then over time,
me.
Like, he started responding, and I really believe like that's a major key to why, like, obviously some of it is genetics. Like, he's smart. Like, mm-hmm. I believe both of us are smart, so he's going to be smart. But I feel like one of the reasons he's advanced is because of how you, from 1 day old, you talk to him and interacted with him, and just how you deal with him is
I never
really
let
cool to watch.
People baby talk him, that goo goo gaga bullshit.
Yeah.
Like
I never did it either, but
sentences.
You definitely
yeah.
had a much more hands on from that stage of life, and it was really cool to watch, and I appreciate it because my son is really cool. I talk to him like he another, like he my homie sometimes.
Yeah, you guys are brothers.
Yeah, like
not having any more kids. That's your brother. He'd be like, Mom, I need a brother or a sister. He's right there. He's right fucking there. Okay? Go play with him. I'm done. But thank you for that. That was very sweet. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. You know? Thank you so much. And happy anniversary to you. I just feel like everything's going good, man. Yeah. We're not. People might think we're perfect. People don't know. Some shit been thrown at you a few times.
I mean, that's anybody. If you put anybody, your best friend, whoever your best friend, if you live with your best friend for 7 years, mm-hmm. every day, sometimes
they get on your nerves.
Y'all gonna get in an argument. Some things they do is gonna piss you off.
Yeah.
Like, that's just life.
Yeah. I always, like, my friends always tell me, like, oh my God, you guys are relationship goals, and I'm like, yeah, but don't get it fucked up. Just because I don't post on social media when I want to punch this nigga in the throat don't mean today wasn't one of them motherfucking days. You know, we just keep our shit in the house.
Yeah.
You know, if shit goes on in our marriage, in our relationship, like I'm a firm believer in, like, it stays home. It stays here. I made the mistake a few years ago of, you know, when we had some issues involving my friends and family in our business, and that shit went left.
Yeah.
Because what I learned is, yeah, you know, you do need to, like, somebody that you can kind of, like, vent and talk to about, like, you know, whatever it is, because, you know, you do need an outlet,
mm-hmm.
but you just need one person. You can't keep telling people your business, because what ends up happening is they judge your partner. And you get over it. Like, you over it now. That's your dick. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get over your dick.
Right.
But your mama might not get over what your dick did to you.
Right.
So you can't tell your mama. You can't tell your sister. You can't tell your friends. You can't do it. You have to keep, you got to deal with your shit in-house and have one girlfriend, one, that you might vent to. Or you know, if you have any serious shit that you really need to get off. But keep everybody out your business.
That's the key.
And you'll be just fine. You get over your shit together. You two handle it. Not nobody else.
Right. That's all it is. Yeah. That and just having, I feel like, in relationship, it's just with any relationship, not just, you can use it for any relationship, not just
a marriage.
A marriage, but just respect.
Mm-hmm.
If you respect the other person, it'll stop you from doing or saying stuff that's just disrespectful.
Yeah, but you still gonna do it.
You still, but
don't act like
it's a line. Like, of course, like we already said, it's stuff that everybody gonna have beef with. If you live with somebody for X amount of years, it's gonna be beefs at some point. That's just human nature. Humans are gonna beef about something. But the level of beef you get and to the level where that goes is of a respect factor. And, and I believe
I see what you're saying.
That's a key to it.
Like, if you're going to beef, keep it got to stay.
Like, it's a level. Like, a level. You know, like, all right, you know, we disagree on this. This is not a good situation, but you're not going to let it go to, like, outright just, you know, like, even what you said before where you posted stuff on social media,
letting people know you mad at this nigga. Letting people know he got like a side bitch.
Like, you see.
Like, why are you telling everybody that follow you see, he got a side bitch you that you just found out about it?
Yeah.
Or that he just ain't shit? Why do we need to know that your nigga ain't shit.
Exactly.
Why?
You see that type of stuff like on social media all the time. That's your nigga.
Let me know when you have left. Let me know on your way out.
Yeah.
So that everybody knows now that you're available.
Right.
Because just telling us your nigga ain't shit and you gonna be sucking his dick tomorrow. Girl, bye. Like, just stop. Keep your shit off the news. Yeah. Okay? Keep your relationship off the fucking news and you too can be relationship goals.
Good point.
You know, only post the good shit. Post the dope shit. The celebrations. The happiness. Why are we even discussing the bad? Why?
You got a point.
Why? People don't even know how to deal with their emotions. That's what it is.
Exactly.
And the sooner you get over that, the sooner you get to relationship goals, bitch. Fuck it. The Cavs lost. God damn it. The Cavs fucking lost. The streak is broken. And now the world is going to end, according to every fucking body else. Jesus.
Yeah. I was really hoping for like both teams to sweep through so it could be like a epic,
a crazy ass
undefeated
finals.
Undefeated teams going at like it would just
that would
cool
be dope,
say.
And the NBA would do it right. Yeah. They wouldn't fuck it up like the NFL. They would but, really like
I mean
play
that's
that
gone.
Out.
That ship has sailed. But I mean with that series, obviously just the Cavs are still going to win. There's no point in talking about what the Celtics can do to keep it up. But what I noticed is in that game. I mean, granted, the Cavs looked like, for some parts of the game, like they lost interest. But what it came down to is the Celtics were making shots. I give a lot of credit to them as far as they run good stuff. They get open looks. But they just don't hit any shots.
Yeah.
And that's what I said in the other series. Like, I thought the Wizards were going to beat them because there's periods of time where it looked like the Celtics were just not going to make any more shots
yeah.
for a long time. And that was a problem, obviously, against the Cavs. And another one of their problems is they're rebounding. They have a problem with that for whatever reason. And Tristan Thompson looks like, you know, Dennis Rodman right now. So, you know, the things that why they're getting blown out is the things that I thought. But this game that they just won, even without Isaiah Thomas, they were moving the ball, doing their stuff, and they were getting good looks. And look, they made some shots.
Mm-hmm.
And come the end of the game, it was a 1-2 possession game the whole end of the game, and they had a chance to win.
They basically gave themselves a shot. You know, 11-for-22 from three. Like you said before, the Celtics always have problems putting the ball in the hole. They go through a lot of stretches where they don't score, and you can't really do that when the Cavs are hot and yeah. they playing ball the way they are. This is our first time seeing the Cavs struggle in the playoffs. You know, shooting 2-for-17 from three. Which is uncommon for them.
Yeah, what?
Weren't they 2-for-17 or some shit?
Nah, at a certain point.
No, 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 not 2 for so. No.
Maybe in like the fourth.
The fourth quarter, yeah, 2-for-17 from three. Like these are things that don't normally happen with them.
Right.
Even on their worst days, this doesn't happen. And on top of that, LeBron had 11 points.
Yeah, that was
he
crazy.
Was scoring the fourth
he
quarter.
He looked disinterested. He just was going through the motions. It looked like it would look weird.
I didn't catch the whole game. You know, I was running around. I was still traveling. But, you know, what I think happened is the same thing that happens with the Cavs all the time. They just basically kick their heels up. And it seemed like the other two guys of the trio were handling their business. But for some reason, LeBron was just off.
What I think is, my opinion, I feel like, you didn't see the beginning of the game, but right. Kevin Love was like unreal at the beginning of the game.
And they fed him.
Like making unreal shots. Mm-hmm. Like it looked like he was going to break the record for threes made or whatever. And I feel like they were just going to him. LeBron was chilling.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie got started balling. LeBron was chilling. And then like it's like, all right, LeBron, we need you. And he kind of like just
wasn't there. And that happens. You know what I'm saying? I hate when people think that because you're a professional athlete, like you're not allowed to have bad games.
Right.
Like everybody has bad games. Everybody. It just so happens LeBron doesn't usually have very many bad games in the playoffs. Like you can count on one hand how many games like this he's had in his playoff career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's such a big deal because it's LeBron. You know?
It's just a story.
And the thing is, normally is because he's LeBron, like because he's LeBron, he's able to feed the hot man the whole game. And then if they do need him, he usually turns it on.
Yeah.
And then they win the game. That's usually what happens. But he didn't, and they lost. And I feel like it's kind of a good thing to me because I just think that the sweep in general is just pressure. You lose a game, it just relax. You know,
Oh, are you saying it's pressure to sweep them?
Yeah.
I can see
that. It's just pressure. It's annoying. It's the Cavs, too. Like, it's LeBron. Like, I just feel like a loss, it kind of breaks it up because then if they go into the finals with the sweep, then it's a little annoying. I just don't like the media, how they play it all. I would have rather seen weaker games from them earlier on. I mean,
they did have weaker games.
No. Like saying like even some losses or something.
No losses. But their first series wasn't like they were winning, but they had like lulls.
Lulls where they did score. And
then they just stomped on the Raptors, and then they were stomping on the Celtics.
Yeah. In this game. So I like it. I like that it's just making it just a good story. It's a good storyline.
All right.
And LeBron had a bad game, you guys. It's what, probably like the fourth or fifth one in his whole career.
Just, it's the media whole vibe whenever I do look at anything media or see anything. It's just a lot of overreactors. Like, everybody yes. overreacts to everything. Even when the Cavs win, it's like, they beat them up. This is the greatest team ever. Like, dude, they beat the Celtics. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of overreacting.
Yeah, TNT had a gif of LeBron getting spanked like a baby or whatever.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a spanking. They was in a game where he only had 11 points. They still could have won.
Yeah.
Still could have won.
It's just a lot of like the media, like, you know, it's just everything is about overreacting. Nobody wants to, like, just, you know, ride it. Like, oh, this what happened. This, you know, it's just a lot of people selling the story. Like, oh, LeBron had 11. See, he can't be the greatest ever and then all of a sudden this Michael Jordan conversation.
They start bringing up Jordan in the final. Jordan would never.
What is this?
Jordan would have never lost a 21-point lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Like, it's like, dude, it's a whole different game. Just watch the game. They had a bad game. It happens. LeBron didn't play like unreal for once, and they lost.
Once.
And then this next game, he's probably gonna go ape shit,
like he usually does after a bad game.
And they'll close him out, and
you'll never hear about this
next.
Again.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Celtics coach. What's his name?
Stevens.
Shout out to this old fuck ass nigga.
Shout out.
He put what's his name? Jarebko? What's his name?
He
subbed Al Horford out and put this nigga in. This is why I always talk about stats with people, because this nigga's stat line was nothing. Like, it wasn't anything great. He made 4 shots, 5 rebounds, but he was annoying.
Yeah, he was.
Annoying.
Yeah, he was. He played a good game.
He was the player of the game to me. And the stats don't tell you that. But if you watch the game, he really was the difference maker. He was annoying.
He was a big
He was starting fights. He was causing problems. He was hitting big shots. He was just everywhere. He got rebounds that they really needed. Those 5 he got, it was like, Jesus. And the coach subbed Horford out, who's supposed to be their guy, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, that's what I like about watching, you know, a lot of people. Like, I had, I was on Lil Duval's podcast. It should be coming out today, too. Shout out to Out Here Podcast, him and his gay-ass sister. that's what it's called, me and my gay-ass sister. Shout out to Rolanda at Duval. And he was saying that NBA coaches don't do nothing. They don't do nothing. These niggas is already balling. This is one of the times where you actually get to coach. Well, you have to make an executive decision to sub out a big component of your team, Al Horford, and put in Jarebko, and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
You make a point. NBA coaches is different. If you know, their coaching is done way before. The games is just managing
setting
rotations and when to call timeout, and then for end of the game situations, if you draw up a play or out of the inbound, drawing up a play, but it's not like football situation where the coach is really calling the game.
Literally, like play by play, yeah. Which I think is stupid. I think the player should call the plays in the NFL too. Like, get out of here, coach. You're not even out here. You don't know how that is shit look. Anyway, that's God.
Whole nother discussion.
Ooh, I can't wait for football season to come back so I can start yelling into the mic and arguing and talking shit. Everybody keeps saying they hate that I don't go on my rants no more. It's because it's basketball season. It's not really anything to rant about, you know?
Right.
Basketball is dope. It's fucking done right, my nigga. It's done right. So, series is 2-1 now. Game 4 in Cleveland.
Yeah.
What is it? Tuesday? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Game 4 tomorrow and Game 5 in Boston on Thursday. Doris Bay, I might be trying to come see you. I don't know if it's possible. I might be trying to come up there. But I'm excited. I'm still excited. I feel like now this changed things. Now it might be a battery in Boston's back.
Yeah, they're going to come. They're going to bring it. I feel like they're going to lose. But it gives them.
Fuck it. Just hoop.
Because I feel like even.
It's still NBA players. I feel
like before. The previous games, it looked like they just were conceding. Like it started off, like I said, it started off where they weren't making shots. And after that happened, they just were like, yeah,
they just
do what
up.
You want with us because we're they about to lose. And this game,
no Vaseline.
They just fought.
They said, fuck it. We don't have Isaiah Thomas either, nigga. What do you have to lose at this point? Just go out there and hoop.
Yeah.
Just hoop. Any nigga right now, if I was on the Celtics – and I was a guy that could score the basketball, I would take this opportunity.
Yeah,
I would take this opportunity to show the fuck off.
They just got to play their game.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But they can play their game. They just got to hit shots. They're getting open looks.
It got to be a nigga that can hit shots.
Who can hit shots? That's what I'm saying. They got to play their game. It's nothing else. It's no miracle. Hey, I'm about to take over. That's not going to win. They just got to keep running.
I ain't talking about winning the series. The series is over. I'm talking about getting yourself paid.
Yeah, you got to make shots.
Right now, somebody should go get a check.
The stuff they're running, if you watch the game, I've watched the games. I eventually give it up because they've been bad, but I watched that whole game. The Celtics, they like I've been saying this whole time, they're getting looks.
Yes.
So
they just can't make it. So who got buckets?
Marcus Smart got buckets last night.
Okay.
They all did. All of them. Bradley scored 20 points.
Man.
Horford was making shots. You brought up, you know, just everybody chipped in. And that's how
I ain't talking about 20, dog. Sorry.
What you talking about?
Somebody.
You think Bradley going to score 40?
That's what I'm saying. None of these niggas can really get buckets. Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's the problem. That's why they're not.
They need.
They're not
there's
dope
some,
like
there's
that.
Some. That might be a star on this roster, is all I'm saying.
Just a flat out get buckets star.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Might be. We gonna see. We only got two.
Watch.
We only got two minimum left. Two games left. Your stupid ass Warriors play tonight.
I was waiting for you to bring up this team that just keep
your
like a machine.
Stupid ass Warriors play
just
tonight.
Just play good basketball. Like, when you just watch it, it's just like good ball.
It's good ball.
They move the ball.
They share
the rock, cut, pass. All of them can pass. I ain't even going to bring out that they play great defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a good team, man.
Yeah.
It's a really, 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 really good team. And I enjoy watching them.
What do you think can happen for we saw what happened to Cleveland. They lost. What would it take for the Spurs to win a game and to push this to a 5-game series?
Hope. Pray. I mean, because you got to – I think the biggest thing with the Warriors is getting – with any team is trying to get Steph out of rhythm. The Cavs usually do a good job of that. That's their strategy, just harass the hell out of Steph and then –
and make everybody else work without him.
Yeah, and then go from there.
So you feel like the Spurs should try to just take Steph out of the game?
That's your only really chance, and then hope like KD results to Oklahoma KD, where he's just trying to ISO all the time. You know, maybe Klay's been off a little bit, so maybe he'll have off day. Like it's that's why.
So basically, you got to count on like 17 things to go wrong.
It's hope. That's what I said. It's hope. I can't really give them a legit strategy to win. Aldridge will have to play a lot better.
Aldridge has been playing better. What are you talking about?
He didn't start off when that game last game. He didn't. What do you mean? Need him to play like really, really good for them.
Oh, I didn't watch that game. I was partying.
They need him to play, they need him to play really, really well.
I didn't see.
They need Gasol to step up. Gasol did nothing. They also need the dude. I like him too. Patty Mills.
Mm-hmm.
They need him to play much better. Patty Mills is, you know, with Tony Parker being out, he's usually a good sub, but he needs to step up and play like better. Like he hasn't been playing well.
Everybody needs to play that.
They just
A
need
game
to play
better
and then hope and pray on the other side. Because they're a good defensive team, but it's tough. It's a tough team to guard.
But you're losing your defensive player of the year. Like you lost that.
They're a good defensive team.
Yeah, but think about it, Brent. Like talking about they're a good defensive team.
They are a good defensive team.
Yes. Yes. On paper, yes. Good defensive team.
They definitely lost Kawhi Leonard.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't lose the glue. Like he is the glue. He is the glue of that defense. He is what makes everybody else the great defensive team. So now they're not a great defensive team, I feel like.
No, that's not true.
Man.
They're still a good defensive team.
They were great before then.
They might be still a good defensive team.
They don't. You got too many bodies out here, dog. You got too many bodies on this Warriors squad.
This is a tough squad to stop.
And
that's
you
why
lost
I said
Kawhi to Kawhi could only handle one.
Like he was, his thing was to like, hey, try to contain KD and we'll
do
the rest.
Yeah.
Like he's still gonna get his buckets, but if you can harass him so it's just not as easy as usual, then you know what I mean. But now that's why I said it's just hope. You know, they're a great coach, they run great stuff. Anything can happen, but I feel like it's about to be over tonight.
What's the, how you pronounce the dude? Murray. DeJounte?
DeJounte? I don't know how to pronounce it. I just call him Murray. I don't know his first name.
You remember when they were playing in the previous series and
Rockets when he first got in?
Remember we were talking about this and people were shitting on him because crazy ass What's his name?
I understand, but
what's his name? Little crazy nigga.
Patrick Beverly
was hawking him and like going crazy, stealing the ball from him. And people was like, "Oh, he sucks." Because I was like saying that I liked his game, like I kind of liked him, and I like watching him now. He's getting a lot more minutes.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be good.
Yeah, he's balling a little bit. Like he's showing, you know, like
I think the he's good. I think the dude Simmons is good.
Yeah, Simmons is really good, too. I just feel like they have some really good weapons. They do have the offensive arsenal to at least, like, if they do catch the Warriors on a bad shooting night or something, to at least keep up with them scoring-wise, you know? They run a great offense. I just feel like at the end of the day, it's just not – it's too many niggas on the other side.
They're playing the Warriors. Like, they're good, right? Like, they're really,
it's too many niggas.
Really good.
Niggas
so
is
good.
Jamming the wreck.
So good. I mean.
And it's just sad because this really could have been a great series. Like, this could have been good. And I still would have had the Warriors winning the series. Even if they would have swept or, like, five games, which I really thought that it would go five games. I still think that it would have been five good games. I still feel like that the Spurs would have competed.
I feel like this could have been, like, and this is a rough time for me when the Bulls versus the Heat. You remember them series?
Yeah.
Like the Heat were definitely better than the Bulls and they were going to win, but the Bulls could make them work.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the game, they might lose by 8 points, but
the Heat had
to play the Bulls. Yeah. LeBron, you know, D Rose was balling. They had to, you know, it was a tough series, but the Heat were going to win in six or five and go on with it. But that's what I felt like this series could have been. It could have been a tough, like, you got to work for this win type series.
Yeah. Like, that's if the Spurs was really on their shit, it could
have
went
to
six.
Like, they had to be on. Like, on. Yeah. That's what I felt like it could have been.
So, we got cheated a little bit in this this one, but you know, the previous series, all those other games were good too. So
yeah,
it's been a pretty good playoffs, except for the, you know, the Cavs sweeping through. Now this interesting loss, but I mean, ultimately, I feel like this is probably the saddest East and West finals in a while. Like, this is pretty sad because I feel like the Cavs should have swept, and now with the Spurs, you know, injuries, this would be a sweep.
The East finals was weak last year too,
but it wasn't this bad. Like it wasn't this bad. Mm.
Well, their stars didn't get hurt.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
The Raptors did win two games.
Yeah.
Like, back-to-back at home, made it a little suspense.
That was interesting. That made it like, ooh, what's going to happen, even though we knew.
But when they won them first two games, it was like, oh, this is a cakewalk.
But they were supposed to, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to win at home.
Yeah,
they went home and won. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel you.
It was a little suspense. It was like, oh, wait a minute.
This looks like, okay, the Celtics basically caught the Cavs slipping. But it's still five games.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not fooled. And this will probably be a sweep. Unless some strange shit happens again. Like, I guess anything's possible.
You never know.
Anything's possible. So, I don't know. I guess. What are we doing? Are we going to a finals game? We going to finals game? We're going to the Oracle.
Yeah, we should. That'd be dope.
You not gonna back out like you usually do?
Mm-mm.
Oh, back out ass nigga.
I will not.
Why? Because it's in the United States?
It's in the United States.
Brent is notorious for planning a trip with me. We've been on vacation once. One time. It was 2011. You took me to the Bahamas.
You liked it, right?
Yeah, I loved it. 8 days. It was my first time leaving Aiden, like, Aiden leaving my side since he was born. No, it was, then it was 2012.
Yeah.
2012, because he was a year and a half at that time.
Right.
Shout out to Ebony.
Ebony was a major key in that.
Yes. And we haven't been anywhere since, because this nigga cancels everything.
I got you a lot of houses, though.
I do own four homes. I do.
Hey, so.
I do own four homes.
I have to pat myself on the back. But.
I own them, too. Like, I don't mortgage them. I own them. So, yeah. You know what? You can cancel any fucking trip you want, boo. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
I'm tripping.
I
want
to pat myself on the back, but since you forced me to, I'll do it.
I'm tripping. Shout out to you. Shout out to my baby daddy for me owning four motherfucking homes. Peace. Just to.